Hashtag murder may contain explicit and disturbing material and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello!
And welcome to
Hashtag murder!
I'm Scar.
And I'm Alex.
And I'm Ray.
And I'm Trinity.
And we are millennials who love murder.
I'm not a millennial.
And Gen Alphas.
Yeah, and Gen A's. We have our two little besties here with us who wanted to see how we record everything. And they are not allowed to listen to this episode, so we're going to record the intro, and then we're going to kick them out. All right.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It is?
It's March Madness. Sports ball.
That means nothing to me.
That's the one with the orange ball.
The orange skit ball.
Yes, the orange sports ball. And it okay. Bounces on the court, and you put it in the hoop.
Okay. Not a fan.
Well, me and Dustin are, and of the same team.
Which is the...
Scarlet, goddammit.
Duke?
Absolutely not.
Who is it?
We are Tar Heel fans. The real Carolina.
North Carolina?
Yes, North Carolina is Carolina. It was founded first. It's the elite Carolina. It's more well-known.
Sure.
The college is better.
You know, my brother used to print those out every year and make myself, my father, my mother, and him. We'd all print them out, and then we'd hang them on the fridge, and then he would keep track of everything, and then...
The brackets.
Yes.
I made two this year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You gonna make any money?
No, they're just free, funsy ones.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
but
sure.
I heard you had an eventful night.
Yeah. Fucking Dustin. Okay. Like, 4 a.m, I wake up from a dead sleep to Dustin yelling, 4. And
he was golfing,
and he woke me up, and he woke himself up. And the next morning, I was like, honey, were you golfing in your dream last night? And he said yes. Mm-hmm. And apparently in his dream, he yelled 4, but didn't yell it loud enough, so then he had to yell it louder, and that was the second 4.
I have a hard time believing that he didn't yell loud enough the first time, even in his dream.
I know, but he sure did. He yelled that out loud. And then I got to thinking about dreams. Have you ever been on like dream talk on the dream side of TikTok?
No.
Okay. I should have known the answer to that. That was stupid. Okay. So I had never noticed this, and I know it's happened before, but it got brought to my attention from TikTok. So whenever you're in a dream, if you start lucid dreaming and you start asking like the other dream characters in your dream, like what time it is, what day it is, what month it is, they all get really mad at you. Scary mad at you. Like they're gonna come after you and try and kill you. And this has happened to me no less than 4 times in the past like 2 months.
This has never happened to me.
No? Do you lose a dream?
No.
Oh, that's disappointing.
I'll have realistic dreams.
Yeah.
Like I'll dream about work and stuff. But not, no.
Huh.
I don't typically ask my dream people questions. I just kind of vibe.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a book on it, if you would like to read it.
Ooh.
Every time I read it, I typically have a lucid dream.
Now I'm on a mission to try and lucid dream.
Yes, because it's weird. It's fun, but it's weird. But if you start asking the date, the time, like, what time is it? People are like, what'd you just ask? And they, like, get this like weird look in their eyes.
And they start getting a knife
really
out of the butcher block.
They do. It's so creepy. Oh my god. But anyways, speaking of creepy things, Alex has another serial killer for me.
I do.
And now we are going to kick out the children.
Bye, kids.
All right, let's get to it.
This guy has 2 nicknames.
Okay.
Dose. So his name is Harvey Glattman. That is his government name. But he was known both as the Glamour Girl Slayer.
Hate that.
And the Lonely Hearts Killer.
Also hate that.
Yep.
Lonely Hearts, is that in reference to like writing into the newspapers and stuff?
Yep, very similar. But this one was like a site, sort of.
Okay.
Like a service that you signed up for. Not on the internet, because it was not invented then, but
okay.
Similar.
Okay.
But He's also, you're going to love this, he's a Sagittarius.
I mean.
And his birthday is the day after yours.
Oh, God.
Our boy Harvey.
This isn't going to be a good connection here.
New York City.
Ah, okay.
On December 10th, 1927.
All right.
He's old.
He's not a gangster, right? I don't like gangsters.
No, he's not a gangster.
Okay, good.
He is a Sagittarius.
Okay.
And his parents, Ophelia, which I really like the name Ophelia.
Love Ophelia.
Mm-hmm. And Albert.
Don't love Albert.
No, not a big fan of that
Fat
one.
Fat Albert? Have you seen Fat Albert in a can?
I have seen.
My cousin used to go around just saying that. I don't know why. It's so stupid. Hold on 1 second. I have to open my beer. All right.
But anyway, they were both immigrants, making Harvey Russian Jewish and Polish Jewish.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. They made the move to Denver, Colorado, when Harvey was still pretty young, like 10 years old. So he started out in New York City and then moves to Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
His parents did the best that they could to provide Harvey with a healthy upbringing. He was a seemingly normal child. And at age 4, he started showing signs of antisocial and sadomasochistic behavior.
Okay.
Did I say that right?
Did you say age 4?
Age 4.
Like 1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
That's cause for alarm.
You would think so. The doctor didn't, though. His mom walked in on him when he was 4. He was tying a piece of string around his penis, and then he looped it, like, around his dresser knob, and he was leaning back so that, like, the string that the dresser was attached to would pull on it and, like, hurt, because he liked that.
At age 4.
4.
That's just
It's
so
all
weird.
Downhill from here.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
At 12, he started escalating this behavior, which is such a great sign. And he would tie rope around his neck and then, like, ran it through the drain of the bathtub and then pull on it so that it would choke him. 12.
Alex.
He's 12.
Honey, come on.
12.
What are we... Mm-hmm. Where... This had to have been learned from somewhere, right?
I could not find anything about it. I think he started, like, he was... You know, boys are gross. They like to, like, touch their penises and shit when they're young. So I think he did the string thing, and then he was like, oh, I bet I could do this to another part of my body.
Mm.
So then rope.
Penises are foul.
And he loves rope. They are foul. I have to agree.
And the fascination with rope, very BTK, loved him some rope. He was
very,
really into tying knots.
When I was writing these up and, like, the specifically, like, choking himself with the rope, that reminded me of BTK.
Mm, weird. As a young teenager. Starting at 4 to a young teenager.
He also has Dahmer vibes, because he gets into photography.
Oh.
Just gonna take some pictures.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, weird. But Ophelia, his mother, did take him to the doctor, because she was like, that, what the fuck? And the doctor said, oh, he'll just grow out of it. Boys will be boys. It's just a phase.
So he's been displaying these behaviors for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the doc's like, you know, just give him a couple more years.
Yeah,
just give
you know.
Him like one more year and
boys,
I'm sure he'll be fine.
Boys, nah.
Nah, he's just a boy.
Yeah, and Harvey was like, well, that was embarrassing. Now I'm just going to do it extra carefully to make sure my mom doesn't catch me.
I mean, okay.
So that's what he learned from that.
Hmm.
So... You know, she is a mom, though. However, they have, like, that internal instinct.
Yeah.
She did pick up on the fact that Harvey really seemed to enjoy pain, whether it was inflicted on himself or others. He liked both ends of it. But she didn't find this, serious enough to get him additional help or maybe a second opinion. I think she really did think that, like, he would just grow out of it, or was hoping that he would grow out of it. Because, like, if you go to the doctor and you're like... My kid's fucked up. Help.
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, oh, he doesn't need help.
He's fine.
He's fine. What are you going to do?
I mean, I guess so.
It just gets worse,
That's just
though.
Alarming. Although this is the, what, 20s, 30s,
He was 40s. Born 27, so about 10 years later, late 30s.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you going to do? So,
It was the the whole world was the Wild West at that point.
Yeah.
So, and then they, like, anything goes.
And then they moved to the Wild West, to Denver, Colorado.
Yeah. That's true.
And then it got even worse when they moved to Denver.
Okay.
So she noticed that, like, he was, like, overall demeanor was more shy, like, reserved, kind of sullen. She's thinking, oh, he's just upset we moved. We left his friends that he didn't have, and now he has even less friends. He's upset about the move, blah, whatever.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know what we're going to do?
Take him to church.
Close.
Oh.
We're going to sign him up for the Boy Scouts of America.
Oh.
Which,
okay.
They're like, you know what? He needs some social time. He needs to play with kids his own age, not with his rope penis. Let's see what we can do.
Were you in the Girl Scouts?
No.
No?
Absolutely not.
I loved the Girl Scouts.
I loved the cookies that the Girl Scouts provided.
I was a brownie. Oh, you should have seen me with the cookie sales.
I bet you killed it.
I did. I would take my little wagon and I would fill it up with all of the cookies and I would... Well, yes. After the orders were placed, I would deliver them by wagon.
That's cute.
But I would take my little sheet and I would knock on doors and I would say, give me your money, bitch.
Buy my cookies.
I know where you
live. Imagine if you had Square back then. They have Square and, like, debit card like,
oh, it's a whole new world.
I went to Harris Teeter, like, when it was Girl Scout cookie season last year. Yeah. And the girls were, I didn't have any cash. And I was like, I'm sorry, girls, I don't have any cash, but I'll get cash back at the register for you. They're like, that's okay. We take card. I said, oh, bet.
The Girl Scouts are becoming ruthless.
They fucking are.
Like, we don't need cash. We'll take your card.
Yep.
They're we'll take credit or debit.
It's $5 a box, or you can get 4 for $20. And I said, ladies, that's the same thing. That's math. Trying to bamboozle me with your girl math.
I was going to say, we may not be good at math, but I do know that one.
Yep. Yeah, but
Man.
The Boy Scouts, though, for Harvey, that was his jam. Not interacting with the other boys, he really could care less about that. But, you know, Boy Scouts learn how to tie knots.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And they do it like they put them in situations where they have to learn, use the knots that they learn. Like
the square knot.
Yeah. And he's like, I love tying knots.
Love tying knots. Which reminds me of the SpongeBob episode.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
The pillow knot. The square knot. And he's like square dancing. The monkey's fist.
I bet
the monkey.
If we walk downstairs after this and ask Ray if she can tell us about the knot episode from SpongeBob, she'll say it word for word.
Feeling naughty.
Naughty.
Okay.
So, he's big into knots. He even started carrying rope with him everywhere so he could practice his knots. Like, anywhere he was.
That's a weird flex.
He's a very strange boy.
On tying knots.
Boy Scouts, like, boys that are very into Boy Scouts, give me the same vibe that horse girls give me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Boy Scout boys are horse girls.
Mm-hmm.
And...
then they grow up and marry each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Weird.
Yeah.
Did we just discover something?
I think so.
Oh my god.
But so he probably already had a rope fetish from like age 4. Now it's escalated.
Yeah, now there's rope everywhere.
There's literally everywhere. Huh. And I literally put in here, very BTK. The man loved a good rope.
Yeah.
Which is literally what we said earlier. Yeah. Yeah. It's around this time when his obsession with autoerotic asphyxiation starts too.
Great. Well, he was already doing that at 12. Or was that 4. Like a one-off?
Well, it gets worse.
Okay.
He's like learning how to improve it.
Great.
I don't think he understood what it was, but then when he started doing the knots at Boy Scouts, he was like, oh yeah, this is great. I like this. So basically he would choke himself with whatever rope or cord he had, and then with his free hand, he would, you know, take care of the deed.
Spank the wank?
Spank the wank.
Make the dust and set. It's so gross. He says, make the banana cry. It's so nasty.
Kale said the other day, making a wrist icicle or something like that.
Ew.
It was disgusting.
Ew. Oh my god.
Harvey, I don't think, quite understood, like, the dangers of this obsession that he had. Because, like, you can cause brain damage and stuff like that with, like,
you could preventing. Literally hang yourself.
You could.
Yep.
Don't think he cared.
Hmm.
The only thing I think he cared about was his parents walking in on him and doing whatever he could to prevent that. But he did have, like, marks on his neck from, like, the rope digging in and giving him bruises. And his parents are like, that's weird. Nothing came of that. Just thought it was weird.
Like, hanging yourself to the point where it's leaving visible marks?
Yeah.
Oh.
So they took him
that's
to the
doctor. That's extreme.
They took him to the doctor again.
Okay.
And guess what the doctor said?
Fuck off.
Basically. They're like, oh, he's a boy. It'll grow out of it.
Oh, my God.
Like, boys will be boys.
Since he was age 4.
They've probably been saying that since he was in the womb. Boys are will be boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Boy Scouts not helping his social skills whatsoever. He's not interacting with kids at school, and he has, like, a really hard time, like, specifically talking to girls. He will not make eye contact. He's, like, whispers when he tries to talk to them. Not good.
Mm-hmm.
And kids are dicks.
So he's like Raj from Big Bang Theory. Can't speak to women.
Even worse.
Can't do it.
Because he, well, actually very similar, because he's also butt-ass ugly.
Oh.
His ears, if you look up a picture of him, his ears are double the size of mine.
Oh.
And my ears stick out. His stick out even further.
Oh my.
And they're like round.
Like two car doors coming at you.
Pretty much. And he had like bad acne, teeth weren't great. Yeah. So
in addition to being a complete weirdo,
mm-hmm.
Soup's not cute.
Soup's not cute and scrawny. Okay. Real scrawny.
Oh no.
So, like, he tried disassociating in a healthy manner with, like, passive activities like photography, he liked movies and music, like, artsy stuff like that. But it just wasn't the same as choking himself with a rope.
Okay.
Just doesn't give him the same thing.
I wonder where that something had to have happened to him, right?
That's what I would assume, but I don't know. I don't know that much about, like, that kind of fascination.
Like, and, like, his childhood, other than that, he was obsessed with his
mm-hmm.
wiener.
His weenie. Yep.
Okay.
So, getting into high school, he starts rebelling a little bit. He's getting into trouble.
Mm. You know, I wonder... So, they took him in at age 4. Mm-hmm. They were like, Doc, there's something wrong with him.
He can't stop tucking his junk.
I wonder if it was one of those things where, like, they talked about it so much where he was like, well, now I just want to do it even more.
Yeah, maybe.
And, like, brought it to his attention. Like, you know how, like, if you tell a kid to not say something, they're just going to fucking say it over and over again.
Or, so, like, I tell Ray not to burp as loud as she possibly can. She just does that shit anyway.
I do that.
Yeah. Well, you're a bad example.
I know. I'm not kid-friendly.
Yeah, maybe. Or like making sure there was no rope or string in the house. Maybe he just went after it even more. He's like,
yeah,
it's not available, but I'm going to make it available because I want it bad now.
Yeah, that's weird. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, high school, he starts rebelling. We love a rebel.
Sure.
Not this kind, though. He starts small, as they usually do, with some petty theft. He would like take personal items from like women or teenagers he saw in like public. And then...
Pickpocket.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then that got boring. He's like, you know what would be more fun? I want to break into their houses.
That would be more fun.
So he starts doing that. And he just, like, would take random shit.
Hmm.
And then he was like, you know what? That's even more fun. So I'm going to start breaking into houses where I know there's
that
a woman home.
Ah, that a woman's home.
Yes.
Okay.
So his first one, he was like, all right, I got my gun, my fake, it's a fake gun, by the way. I got my rope, and I'm going to go follow this woman home.
Okay.
So he...
Is he in high school? Is that what
you
said?
Yeah, high school.
Oh.
Oh, not a fake gun yet. He does use a fake gun, but not yet.
Is it a real gun?
It's a real gun that he stole from somebody's house.
Oh.
So he's got his gun, his rope, he sees this woman walk into a house, because he followed her home, so he slides open one of the windows on the side of the house.
Hate that.
This motherfucker doesn't even get in the house before the cops are called.
She knew.
Yep.
She's like, there's this creepy teenager. Like, but he has a real gun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that could have been bad.
But he makes a run for it.
Okay.
Yep, because she's screaming, calling the cops. So he's like, I gotta be more careful next time. So not even a week later, he does it again.
Is he not in school?
I think he's doing this, like, on the weekends or after school. Because I didn't see anything where, like, he was, like, reported as, like, truant or anything like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So, he does it again. So, instead of, like, breaking in through a window, he just, like, bull rushes her into the house. Like, he's behind her as she's, like, opening the door.
As she's entering the house?
Yep. So, he tied her up with fancy Boy Scout knots.
Hmm.
Then he was, like, assaulting her while he, you know, took care of his rope. His personal rope. Yeah. And then when he finished, he untied his victim and, like, took off.
He let her go?
Yeah. It's in her house. He took off. And there's no police report of it. This is just something he reenacted. Like, he told investigators later on.
Oh.
So I think that's where he got started.
Uh-huh.
But most women don't report stuff like that anyway, especially back then, because they would have been like, oh, well, you came on to him. You gave him these ideas.
Yeah, what were you wearing?
Yeah, ma'am, that skirt did not go all the way to your ankles.
You showed a bit too much shoulder,
mm-hmm.
and that was your fault.
But this is where he gets started. He's on a streak now.
Hmm.
This was around spring of 1945, and he's 17 at the time.
17?
17.
Goddamn.
He follows another woman home, and when she went inside, he attempted to break into her window. Police get called. But they get his ass this time. As soon as they show up, he's like, yes, yeah, I did it, okay. They confiscate his stolen gun, his rope, and they take him in. He admitted to the officers that there were several homes he had broken into and stolen things from after they had taken possession of his rope and gun. He did not mention the sexual assault to the officers or any of those attacks. He just said that he broke into someone's home.
Okay.
Yep.
So that doesn't come out until later.
That does not. Okay. And it didn't seem like the cops made any connection to this. They probably didn't think anything of it. They probably thought he was being a dumb kid breaking into a house.
Yeah. This is he's just 17. Another teenager.
Being dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So they end up charging him with first degree robbery, and his parents posted bail for him almost immediately, and he went straight back to the street.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe we'll keep him in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do they think that he's doing? If he has no friends... Where do they think he's going?
Maybe he lies to them, says he does have friends. He's like, oh, I'm hanging out with the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Tying knots.
We're making, what is it, soapbox cars?
S'mores.
S'mores. Yeah.
So, summer of 1945 comes around, and Harvey was, like, driving around the suburbs in Denver when he spotted his next victim. And he pulled up to her and forced her into the car.
Oh, okay.
This is when he learns, though, we maybe should not release our victims.
Ah, okay.
So, okay. Yep. After abducting his victim, he drove about 40 minutes outside to Sunshine Canyon, which is like a hiking trail near Boulder, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
He forced his victim to walk the trail with him about 2 miles. And when they arrived at their, like, destination, he performed his usual MO. He tied her up with the rope, assaulted her while taking care of his skin rope. Then it gets a little weirder after this. When he was finished assaulting his victim, he sat back and watched her while she struggled to get out of the bindings that he did. And, like, this was all night. He did not release her until daylight.
Was she blindfolded? Did she know he was there?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yep.
And he was just, like, sitting there?
Yep. Just watching.
Not doing anything?
Just watching. He's a weird motherfucker.
Yeah.
He ends up untying her hands, and then he called a cab for her so she could go. Chivalry's not dead, folks.
Evidently not. What?
Yeah.
Although, I mean, he's a teenager. Like, what does he think he's gonna do?
No idea. So our girl, she didn't know why he let her go. She wasn't questioning it, but as soon as she could, she immediately went to the police to file a report.
Good girl.
And authorities didn't take long before they hunted his ass down and arrested him.
Good.
And charged him for kidnapping. Also, I'm very glad that they believed her. That's good.
Yeah.
I feel like back then that would have been like, you're
once
full of
again,
it.
Do you, what were you wearing?
What are you regretting?
Yeah. So, yeah. What did you bring on yourself that you now feel bad about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was found guilty of the charges in November of 1945 and sentenced to 1 to 5 years.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah. I thought you would get more for kidnapping, but maybe not. His family was horrified, but didn't really seem to care at all that much, and he ended up getting out on good behavior after serving just 8 months. Less than a year.
Well.
For kidnapping.
You know, kidnapping. Fucking Brian Winchester He got 25 years for kidnapping.
Mm-hmm. Most people get life now for kidnapping.
And he didn't even do anything. I mean, he scared her, but yeah. he didn't do anything to her. And he got 25 years. Of course, mm-hmm. that is Florida. That's where true. They will get you.
You do not fuck around and find out in Florida.
Judge Bunky ain't fucking around.
He is not.
My best friend Bunky.
Bunky. I bet George W. and George Bunky
are BFFs.
Okay. So, Mama Ophelia and baby boy Harvey ended up moving back to New York after this release and in the hopes that maybe a little change of scenery would better his behavior.
Yeah, because there's, you know, there's not so many more people in New York that could possibly be victims.
No. Nothing could go wrong here.
Oh, God.
But yeah, they were in New York for roughly a month, and he was like, oh, I'm bored now. Guess I better hit the streets and look for a new victim. This time, though, he used a toy gun, because he doesn't have his real gun anymore.
Yeah, because he was arrested, and they took his gun away.
Mm-hmm. So, on his little prowl, he came upon a couple taking a walk together, and he, like, honed in on him. And he's never abducted or tried to assault a man before. He points his fake gun at them and forces the couple down a dark alleyway where he ties up the guy and then began to assault the woman. Unfortunately for Harvey, he did not do a great job of subduing the male and tying him up very well. And he was able to get one of his hands free and he lunged at Harvey.
Oh, and he said he's a little guy, right?
Yeah, he's real small.
I bet he didn't want to.
He's like a scrawny
come
guy.
In contact with a dude.
No.
At all.
And like, if you look at pictures of him, you can tell that he's scrawny.
Huh.
So, Harvey stayed ready, though. He had a pocket knife and began, like, slashing it willy-nilly at the male victim. And he caught him in the shoulder. It didn't cause, like, much damage, but it was enough to, like, shock him. And so he was able to run away.
Yeah.
Instead
like,
of...
you really did just fucking cut me, you little shrimp. Yeah,
you little, you little fucking shit. Yeah, basically. Huh. So, instead of doing the responsible thing and going back home to, like, hide out and lay low... Old dumbass Harvey is like, you know what? I'm just going to hitch a train.
I'm for something else.
I'm going to go on a train. Oh. So he goes to Albany, New York.
How far is that?
On a train ride? Let's Google.
Okay. I would love to know. I would also love to ride a train.
I've never ridden a train. It sounds cool.
Although our friends, Peter and Linda, they took a train from, I think, here to, like, Washington, D.C. And they were super excited about it. And then they got back and they were like, don't do that. but they were in, like, I guess, what's it called? Not general population. That's wrong. That's jail.
Gen pop.
They were in gen pop.
Sorry, Peter and Linda.
They were in gen pop.
Just, like, mixed in with everybody. They didn't have, like, their own, like, cart.
Yes. They said, if you ever do that, spring for your own room, mm-hmm. basically, because that was bad. Oh. But I still want to do it, and I do want to get my own room. I think mm-hmm. that would be fun.
It would be fun.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like Murder on the Orient Express.
I know.
And it's 2.5 hours.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, you know, a few days after getting into Albany, he runs into a nurse named Florence Hayden. I really like that name.
Flo.
I love Florence.
Yeah.
So, she was walking home from her shift at the hospital.
Sweet.
So he jumped up behind her and shoved the, like, fake gun into her back. Florence thought that this was a robbery attempt and was like, hey, just take all my money. I'm really sorry. Don't hurt me.
Yeah.
Harvey does take all of her money, still shoves her into the yard, and starts to tie her up. Florence, though, she's got her eyes peeled, and she realized that Harvey had put down his gun to tie her up. And so she fought hard as hell and yelled, screamed, slashed at him. She was making as much noise as she possibly could.
Good.
And Harvey's like, well, fuck. Like, the cops are gonna come because she's being loud as fuck.
Yeah.
So she flees. Harvey came back to hunt the next night, though, and held up two middle-aged women attempting to rob them.
If you can't subdue one, why are you going after two?
That's a great question.
That's dumb.
Because Harvey's stupid.
Okay.
Since they were older than, like, his usual victim pool, he wasn't, like, trying to assault them and, like, get off or anything. He just literally took their money and went on his way. And he's still 17 at this point.
That's so weird. Because it's, like, sexually motivated, but why is he robbing two old ladies and, like, doesn't really want to...
It's strange.
Do anything?
Very strange. So, this bites him in the ass, though, because those two women sure as shit reported him and to the police, and since they were already on the lookout for Florence's attacker, too, because she also went to the police, they, like, were spread all around Albany, New York. Like, there's so many cops everywhere waiting for this motherfucker to slip up. Huh. And he does, because they spot his ass stalking a woman down the sidewalk. And they're like, he looks suspicious. So they made him out, and they made him turn out his pockets, and they found a rope, pocket knife, and his fake gun. And they're like, you know what? We think we did find our guy. Thanks for being stupid.
I mean, how closely was he following for them to be like...
Like a block away. Like half a block. Like, you know, like, maybe, I don't know, 30 yards, I would say.
I guess
But he's,
so.
Like, being creepy. Like, he had,
oh,
like
dodging behind carts. And...
Yes. Like, he's, like, slowly, like, creeping up on her. Like, you could tell that he's following her. Because they... Yeah. They're like, that looks weird. Turn out your pockets, motherfucker.
Yeah.
So, weird. In October of 1946, Harvey was convicted again for the assault on Florence Hayden, the nurse. 18-year-old Harvey pled guilty to this charges and was sentenced to 5 to 10 years this time.
Okay.
And he was sent to maximum security.
Sounds like we're getting somewhere.
No, we're not.
Okay.
While being held in Max, Harvey was evaluated and diagnosed with schizophrenia and psychopathic traits.
And we let him go?
We do. Not yet, though. So despite being handed down this diagnosis, Harvey seemed to handle prison really well still. Didn't really give a shit. He was such a good prisoner that he got out on early release and was given parole after serving only 3 years of his sentence.
I'm honestly surprised he served 3 years. But also, how can we gauge behavior where you are locked in a cell and you try not to interact with anyone, and if you do interact with anyone, those interactions don't matter because you're probably scared of the person.
And also, there's no females
in
this prison.
And there's no women.
There's no women. He's only violent to women.
So, like... He sits there and he reads his book and he eats his food and he goes to bed and he wakes up and he does it all over again. How can we gauge good behavior whenever there's nothing to fucking do?
Yeah, there's no temptations there.
That's so, really annoying.
He had to be under parental supervision, though, this time. So Harvey moves back to Denver because mom had moved back to Denver when he went to jail.
Okay.
And he was...
Are you boring yourself?
I am. So Harvey's like, all right, I gotta move back to Denver, live with mom, and then I gotta check in with my parole officers. And he does. He does keep, like, some odd jobs here and there. Doesn't really keep him for too long. He was actually, like, kind of a shithead at work. He was very arrogant, argumentative.
Has he graduated high school?
I don't know
if he actually... done with high school? Maybe not graduated, but, like,
he's not in school. No, not in school.
Okay.
He's, like...
Oh,
because
he was in jail for 3 years.
Yeah, he's 21-ish.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's living with his parents, going to work at McDonald's, wherever. He was actually fired quite a few times because he was such a little fuckhead.
Believable.
Yep. So his good behavior, though, does not last forever. In October of 1952, when Harvey was 25, his father passed away from diabetes. This didn't seem to upset Harvey that much, but it did put a huge strain on Ophelia, the mom. Because now she is the sole breadwinner and has to do, like, extra work and jobs to make ends meet.
Yeah.
Because fucking Harvey can't hold a job to help out.
And she
out.
Has to deal with her sicko psychotic son alone.
Yeah.
Ugh. So, and they're both immigrants. They probably don't really have any family.
No. Yeah. Yep. So in 1954, he was actually given permission to live on his own. Because he's been such a good boy.
Good boy.
Did a good boy.
Ugh.
As long as he checks in with his mom and his parole officers, he can live on his own. He was great at keeping his secrets hidden, though. He was very well behaved at his mom's house and his parole-like meetings.
Yeah, he doesn't want to tie up and kill his mother.
Yeah, just other women.
Ugh.
So in the spring of 1954, so like maybe a year and a half-ish after he's allowed to live on his own, some students from the University of Colorado at Boulder found a severely decomposed body on the edge of a creek. Her body was unable to be identified because of the decomposition, and her case went cold shortly after her discovery.
Wow. 1957?
54.
Oh, 54.
At the time, there seemed to be no reason to point the finger at Harvey for this murder. And just 5 years later, in 1957, that is not 5 years later, just 3 years later, in 1957, the court decided he'd been behaving so well, being such a good boy, that he can be independent. He can go wherever he wants to go.
So he no longer has to stay in the state of Colorado.
He does not. He also does not stay in the state of Colorado.
Someone who was deemed an extremely dangerous psychopath is allowed to just
roam
go
free. He's reformed. Scarlet, how dare you? And do you remember, I don't know if you remember him. He had this, like, cult called the Family, and he fled to this really big state on the West Coast.
California.
California is where Harvey's going.
Yes.
He got a job working as a DirecTV technician. I'm just kidding. It was not DirecTV. I just wanted to see your face.
Just installing DirecTV satellite dishes.
Yep.
Great.
He is a TV repairman, though.
Oh.
And he started getting...
Hey, there's that mechanical mind.
Mm-hmm.
And doing little tiny things with your... Yeah. Okay.
This wouldn't occupy him, though, unfortunately.
Oh.
But he does start getting back into his little hobbies. The passive ones, not the ropes ones.
Photography and film.
Photography.
Oh, boy.
This doesn't go well. Harvey used his newfound love of that hobby to attend camera and photography clubs around town.
Oh.
And it does not go well for the women in these clubs. It was pretty normal thing for the photographers at the time to, like, crowd around, like, nude young women posing for photos. I guess that was just, like, a thing that they did. Maybe still do. Who the fuck knows?
I'm 100% certain that still happens.
Probably.
Playboy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't know that there was, like, this whole string of, like, Playboy murders.
What?
Yeah. And then there was this reality TV show called Megan Wants a Millionaire, and one of the guys on there, like, really wanted to be with her, and she had to kick him off, but, like, she didn't really want to because she wanted to be with him, and then he ended up murdering someone.
What?
Yeah.
I remember the Jenny... Jenny something show.
Oh, I can't remember her.
Jenny Jones. The Jenny Jones show.
Yeah.
One of her contestants murdered somebody.
Yeah. It was his friend.
Mm-hmm.
That one's dark.
That he had a crush on.
Yeah, you've been saying you were going to tell me that story for a very long time now. I would love to hear it.
Anyway. So the first couple
months. We'll add it to the list.
Anyway, so he kind of hangs back at these clubs at first. He's like, I'm just going to feel it out. But then he lays eyes on a lady he just cannot resist named Judy Ann Dahl.
Oh, Judy Ann.
Also, I don't know if it's Dahl or Dahl, like how you pronounce it. I heard both when I was doing research.
I
like Dahl.
Judy Ann Dahl.
Yep. But he liked her. Sweet 19-year-old girl. Harvey had originally spotted her photos in, like, a portfolio of another photographer, and he reached out to her claiming to be a freelance photographer and asking if she would be willing to pose in some photos for him.
Is this the get? Is this the scheme?
This is the scheme. We're getting into the scheme.
No.
This is gross. This is a really gross scheme.
Oh.
Harvey told Judy that he usually did work for detective magazines, which I did not know was a thing.
What the fuck's a detective magazine? And why aren't we subscribed to it?
I have no idea. Didn't even know it was a thing.
Oh.
She seemed like... She's like, oh, okay, that's weird. He's like, yeah, so I might have to tie you up and gag you for some of the photos. And she's like, that's really fucking weird. I don't know about that. He's like, well, how about $20 an hour?
How much was that?
$220.
I'd tie me up. I'd do a lot of things.
$220 an hour.
Damn.
And she was like, all right, bet. Pick me up.
Yeah.
So on
your fake detective magazines.
So on August 1st, 1957, 30-year-old Harvey brought Judy to his apartment that he had staged to look like a real studio. He tied her up with rope and posed her body on a chair in the living room and asked her to pretend like she was afraid.
I know this person!
Harvey or Judy?
Well, I don't...
Or the case?
The case!
Oh.
I did not realize that this is who we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The pictures where they're tied up and then the...
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Googling. Hold on.
Wow.
I didn't actually Google the pictures because I didn't want to see.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, this is bad. This is sad. This is horrific.
Oh, shit. This is a real fucking magazine.
Wait, what magazine?
True Detective Magazine. It ran from 1924 to 1995.
What?
What?
Okay, I know what I'm looking for the next time I go antique shopping is a True Detective magazine.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Damn. I didn't realize this is who we were talking about. Okay, yep. Continue.
I got you. So Judy's like, okay, I can pretend to be afraid. Now I really don't have to pretend to be afraid. Because Harvey pointed a gun at her and then assaulted her. But instead of, like, groping her like he did with, like, previous victims, he raped her.
So this
is his first known rape. Afterwards, he forced Judy to cuddle with him and watch movies, which is very Jeffrey Dahmer-esque. Like, he took pictures of her, and now he's, like, forcing her to stay.
Like, let's hang out?
But he thinks this is, like, a sweet, intimate moment.
This is so disturbing.
And then he took more photos so that he could keep them. When he was done, he forced Judy into his vehicle, where he drove her out to the desert and forced her out of the car. He took more photos of her, and he learned his lesson like he'd from before. He did not release her. Instead, he wrapped her like a rope around her throat and strangled her until she stopped breathing.
So you didn't look up the pictures of this? You didn't come across any pictures?
I didn't want to look up the pictures.
They're not dead in the pictures, but they are truly disturbing.
Now I'm gonna look, because now I feel bad.
Knowing what is coming next.
I didn't want to look at them.
And these women, they were gorgeous. They were fucking models. I mean, they were models, and they knew they were models. But these pictures are very famous.
Look at this man's ears.
Oh my.
And his nose.
Yeah, he's not cute.
I feel like I have seen these photos before, because a lot of them are really familiar.
Yeah.
I just didn't know that this was him.
Oh, disturbing.
I have seen that one a lot. Anyway, he took more photos of her and then just left her body in the middle of the desert. Mm. Harvey developed all the photos he took of Judy and then hung them all over his apartment as like a memoir to his crime.
Oh, gross.
He would get the urge to commit murder again in March of 1958. So like six-ish months afterwards.
Yeah, because that was August of the year before?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So.
With these serial killers, I mean, once they get going,
they don't stop.
There is no stopping.
And it speeds up.
Yeah.
This time, the 30-year-old decided to take a different approach, and he signed up for a Lonely Hearts Club, which is where the Lonely Hearts thing comes from.
Yeah, just like a Nanny Dolls.
Mm-hmm.
That and crazy psycho bitch.
And he went under the name George Williams.
Original.
Very basic.
Yep.
We love a George. Not him, though.
No.
And this was run out of Hollywood, and it's here he meets a 24-year-old woman named Shirley Ann Bridgeford. Who had recently gone through a divorce. And she was like looking to get back into the dating scene.
Yeah.
I did that once.
You did do that once.
I did that once. I didn't get murdered, though.
No, not yet.
Nope. She still could. Harvey picked Shirley up for their date, for lack of a better term. He told her he wanted to go to dinner and then take a drive out to Sun Valley, which was, like, really cool to just, like, drive around. The views were cool.
Yeah.
Harvey made small conversation with Shirley, but he was not heading towards dinner or Sun Valley, like he told her the plan was. Instead, he was driving down the highway, and he pulled off to the side of the road in the middle of the fucking desert and got his gun out and directed it at Shirley.
What a cowardly way to abduct someone.
Yeah. It's like, I'm just going to drive you in the middle of nowhere, then point a gun at you.
Yeah, and then lure you in under the guise. Well, I guess this one wasn't the photography, but like,
it's still a guise. He acts like he's interested in dating her.
Yeah.
She's thinking that she's looking forward to like one of her first dates after a divorce.
Oh, God.
And instead she gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
He then raped Shirley and drove her out further into the desert and told Shirley he just had to tie her up and gag her so that he could take some photos of her for the detective magazine he freelanced for.
The True Detective.
Yep.
Ugh.
Harvey positioned Shirley the way he wanted, took his photos, and then got his trusty rope from the car, which he used to strangle and kill her.
Oh.
After this, he left her body in the desert and went home. 4 months later, in July of 1958, he would get the itch to kill again.
God damn.
Yeah, it's speeding up. So we went 7 months, now we're about 4 months.
Oh my God.
So, Harvey came across an ad in the LA Times from a 24-year-old woman named Ruth Mercado, who was seeking modeling work. Harvey reached out to Ruth, and the two of them discussed potentially working together. Harvey later told investigators he felt a pull towards Ruth and he needed to have her.
Mm, gross.
Yeah. I think it's because she was pretty. Because she was.
Yeah.
Harvey offered Ruth a job, and when she arrived at his apartment for what she thought was a photo shoot, Harvey pointed a gun at her when she opened the door and forced her into the bedroom.
Oh, God.
Harvey raped Ruth at gunpoint, and when he was finished, forced her into his vehicle, where he drove her deep into the desert in San Diego County. Which is not a quick drive. Like, if you're not familiar with California, San Diego, Los Angeles, not close together.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wonder why I drove that far.
He said that Ruth was very difficult for him to kill because he actually felt like a physical, like emotional connection to her. So I think he was feeling
trying
guilty.
Trying to get as far away as possible.
Yeah, trying to get as far away as possible. And I think he felt guilty about killing her and wanted to just like put it off as long as he could and spend more time with her.
Oh,
yeah.
Weird.
He said, I quote, "I took a lot more pictures and tried to figure out how to keep from killing her, but I couldn't come up with any answer." Because he didn't want to go back to jail. Maybe just don't rape and kill people.
Oh my God.
Harvey killed Ruth the same way he killed Shirley.
Oh.
He hogtied her, took photos, and then strangled her with the rope he had in the vehicle.
Oh my.
He left her in the desert, drove home with the photos.
God.
Instead, though, of displaying them in his living room like he was before, he was putting them in a toolbox where they were, like, hidden but still accessible.
Oh.
So
he's kind of like squirreling them away.
Kind of, yeah. So like he
seemed like he was kind of ashamed of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really want to do that one.
Yep.
Oh, so bizarre.
Now we're 3 months later. Harvey had his eyes set on his next victim, 28-year-old model named Lorraine Vigil. Harvey calls Lorraine up and uses his "I take photos for a detective magazine and I need your modeling services" spiel. Lorraine agreed and gave Harvey an address to come pick her up. As soon as Lorraine got into the car, she noticed that they were speeding off into the completely wrong direction, towards the desert, and not Harvey's fake studio in Hollywood.
Oh, God.
Harvey pulled over and pointed his gun at Lorraine and told her that if she followed all his instructions, that she would be allowed to live.
Can you imagine that sinking feeling? I think we talked about this in the Mary Vincent episode. Of, like, getting in the car with someone and knowing that they are driving the wrong way.
Yes.
Like, that feeling you get, like, oh, fuck. Like, I have completely fucked up.
Yep.
Oh, that just gave me chills. Okay.
So, Lorraine sensed that Harvey was full of shit. So when he went to tie her hands behind her back, she lunged and started fighting with him to get the gun out of his hands.
Oh.
She's fighting. The gun ended up going off and, like, grazing her thigh.
Oh.
But she kept kicking and fighting until a California state trooper heard the gunshot and drove over to see what the fuck was going on.
What?
Yep.
Just so happened to be in this secluded area?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's luck.
That's luck. When he pulled up, the two of them were still fighting for the gun. Lorraine had, like, the upper hand on Harvey a little bit.
Yeah.
He's also a scrawny little guy.
Yeah.
She ended up holding him at gunpoint as the state trooper's driving up. And he arrested his ass.
What a bad bitch.
Yep.
That
she's
also
like,
just gave me goosebumps. Yes, Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Harvey did not deny anything. He told the story very straightforward. He was very to the point about it. Didn't lie.
Just like, yeah, told her that I needed photos for this magazine. Didn't really need them.
I was going to kill her.
I was just going to kill her.
Yep.
What? He didn't even try to...
Nope. He even told them where they could find his toolbox in the apartment that held all his photos of his victims.
He wanted to get caught.
I think so. I think he felt bad. Like, he was starting to feel really guilty, but I also think he wanted to be famous.
Well?
Yep.
Yeah? Ugh.
So, when the officers brought back the photos from his apartment, he pointed out his three most recent victims, Shirley, Judy, and Ruth, and there was also four other victims portrayed in the toolbox.
God.
Harvey identified two of them as being models from Denver. He claimed to have assaulted and not killed.
The two people that got away? Wait, did somebody get away?
He took two... He left Denver, but he supposedly took pictures of two victims there that he did not kill. He just assaulted them. We don't know how much that true that is.
Yeah, so. Don't believe that.
So, the other
one... Well, I don't know. He's being very truthful.
Honest. Yep.
Which is weird.
The other one was a lady named Dorothy Gay, the woman found by the Boulder, Colorado college students that was by the lake. Authorities didn't discover her identity until 2009 through DNA testing.
What?
So like 55 years after her body was discovered.
The one that the teens found? The college?
The college kids.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
2009?
Yep.
Wow.
DNA evidence, it works.
Shit.
So like he said, oh, that's a girl from Colorado. I killed her, left her by the lake.
Yeah.
They didn't actually know, like, were able to confirm it until 2009.
Wow.
Dorothy was an 18-year-old girl from Phoenix, Arizona, and her sister was the one who initiated this DNA test because she had a very strong feeling that Jane Doe was her sister. And she was correct.
DNA testing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, Harvey ends up leading investigators to the three bodies of the woman he killed in California, solidifying the evidence that they needed to press charges and fully convict him without a doubt if there was a trial. They wouldn't actually need to come to that because a month later, in November of 1958, Harvey pled guilty to all three of the California murders and requested that he be given the death penalty. Like, he wanted to die.
Yeah. That doesn't really surprise me, mm-hmm. actually.
Harvey's mother, Ophelia, flew in from Denver to support her son.
Oh,
her
Ophelia.
Her baby boy. She's such a piece of shit through all this. Her baby boy. She begged the court not to let her son off, or, like, get the death penalty.
Yeah.
Because he was not mentally well.
Well, I mean, that's clear.
Yeah. I'm like, we
know that.
We know. between a psych eval... In Lorraine's testimony, it was determined that Harvey was sane enough to know right from wrong, and the judge did not believe life in prison was enough of a punishment for him. Harvey was sentenced to the death penalty and sent to the San Quentin prison to await his execution on death row.
Wow.
He never fought his sentencing and specifically asked the judge to show no mercy. And just a year later, he was executed on September 18th, 1959, by cyanide in the gas chamber at the ripe old age of 31.
Wow. They did not fuck around.
No.
They're like, hey, this guy wants to die. Let's just get go ahead and kill him.
Let's just get this process going.
Wow.
That's what's still when they use gas chambers. It's fucking wild.
Damn. I think they still use gas chambers.
Do they?
Yeah.
A lot. I don't know.
Oh, maybe not. I might have just made that up.
No.
I have no idea.
Well, not so fun fact.
Oh, you do have fun facts.
It's not fun.
Oh, okay.
The magazine that he claimed to work for?
The True Detective.
Is
that what it was called?
Yes.
Okay.
He may have actually worked for a magazine. His photos of the women that he took somehow did end up in that magazine. And one very memorable reader... of this same magazine who saw those very photos.
You are giving me goosebumps. What are you about to say?
Ah! Was a 13-year-old boy from Wichita, Kansas.
Dennis motherfucking Rader.
Yep. And Dennis had, like,
the magazine.
He had them saved. Like, and he told, like, people that were interviewing him. That was, like, one of the first articles he used when he was, you know... tugging on his skin rope.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
So he maybe wasn't lying about being working for this magazine. Because we have the pictures. I've seen them.
He probably actually did work for a magazine.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
Wild.
So that really wasn't a
guy. And the magazine.
He actually did work for the magazine.
And the magazine did a whole, like, story on him when they found out. I'm assuming that he probably, like... sent the magazine these photos, but he probably never got paid for them because they were never published. But then the magazine was like, oh, fuck, we do have these photos. Let's publish them and write a story. And they did, but, like, it was very, like, centered around the victims, you know, like, talking about, like, the awareness of, you know, not getting into cars with strangers and all that stuff.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, Dennis motherfucking Rader.
Wow.
Had that magazine.
Oh, my God. And... what's his name? Fucking Harvey? What can
Harvey.
He do? He can fuck all the way off.
He can fuck all... He's a
31.
31.
Was executed at 31.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm Googling now. Gas chamber.
Okay, yeah. This can be another fun fact. Is the gas chamber still a thing? I thought it was. Or maybe just gas. Maybe not a gas chamber. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's still a thing. 7 states, Alabama, Arizona, California, Mississippi, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Wyoming authorize lethal gas if lethal injection cannot be administered. The condemned committed their crime before a certain date, or the condemned chooses to die in the gas chamber.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, because you do have a choice sometimes. Because remember, what's her doodle? That Eileen Wuornos? Well, you were like, you can either get the firing squad or...
Oh, yeah, firing squad. Is that her? I think it was her. It was firing squad or lethal injection. I think she got lethal injection.
Yeah. I don't know. But that was fucking wild.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I needed that because I worked 9 hours today and all I did was talk all day.
All day.
And I needed a good story to listen to.
We got, I got a good one coming for you soon.
Yeah. We got some good ones on the docket. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Yep.
The one I have for next week. It was a fan suggestion.
I love fan suggestions.
And it's funny. I will probably repeat this because I will forget that I have said this. But she suggested it and I was watching this documentary and I was like, I don't know. This seems pretty straightforward. I'm not a big fan of this.
The husband did it.
And holy shit, did it go way off the rails.
It's like that, the one that you did where the woman was killed and then like being cyber stalked or something.
That was Carrie Farver.
Yeah.
Also, let it be known, we covered that before whatever show is out. There's a new show out, like a soul documentary on her case.
Really?
Yes. With Average Dave. Oh, but yeah, I don't know what episode that was, but that was bonks.
We're amazing.
I know. Oh my God. Well, before you go.
Follow us on Instagram at #murderpod. Spell it all out.
And if you like this, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We would really appreciate it. We do have a new review.
Ooh, what is it?
We got a new review. Oh.
Is it someone telling us they don't like your laugh?
No, it was sweet. Hold on. All right, this was from... this was from Miss Lexi V123. She said, love murder pods? Question mark. I'm a 22-year-old student, and I started and I started listening last week, and I cannot get enough. Thank you so much, Lexi V123.
We love you.
Yes, that was very sweet. We appreciate it. And we also have a Patreon, which you can find in our Instagram bio under our link tree. If you have case suggestions, message us on Instagram. The crazier, more banana pants they are, I will do those. And if you have serial killer cases you would like to hear,
I will do those.
Yes.
Or if they're like really gory.
Yes.
Scarlett has a hard time with those.
I do.
Yep.
I
am going to do Ed Gein soon.
Okay.
Yes. We've had a couple people suggest it, so.
Okay.
It's got to happen.
It's got to happen. Oh my God. Okay, well, we have to go collect your children.
We do. And my wife.
And your wife. And I have to go check on Dustin. It's been a weird day.
They've been yelling a lot, so I'm a little scared of what we're walking into.
Yeah, there's a lot of barking, yelling. Hopefully they're playing a game. We'll see. All right, well, thanks for hanging out.
Love you. Bye. If your son is acting weird, don't sign him up for Boy Scouts. Take him to a doctor. Bye-bye-bye.
Bye-bye-bye. Be fun and half safe.
Be fun and half safe. Not with rope.
Thank you for listening to Hashtag Murder. Episodes are written and edited by Alex Lewis and Scarlett Hibden. Our intro and outro music is written and played by Derek Branton. Our cover art is by the lovely Lauren Walker. And our name was created by the most wonderful, supportive, and super hot boyfriend, Dustin Branton. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or ideas, you can reach us at hashtagmurderpod@gmail.com. That's H-A-S-H-T-A-G, murderpod@gmail.com. And don't forget to tell all of your friends about us. Thanks. Bye.
Real quick.
Hello.
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 Hello. Testing, testing, testing.
Roar. Roar. Why do you have a statue of a cat showing its butt?
Retake.
That's what Newton does.
It's an antique.
Oh my god. Retake.
I said that right into the camera.
The camera?
Oh, did it start?
Stop it yelling. Shh. All right, you ready?
Wee.
Yep, we gotta be very quiet.
December 10th, 1927. Sorry, repeat that. Our boy Harvey was born in New York City.
Well, if we have a fun one.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a PG one.
Well,
it's very difficult. Because nothing we cover is PG.
That one that I have.
The bank heist? No, art heist.
No. Oh, I did start notes on that. I never finished that, though.
I guess we could have done, like, one of those, But as soon when he starts showing signs of antisocial and every time I put these words in here, I know that I'm not going to be able to say them. It's also around this time when his obsession with autoerotic asphyxiation. Asphyxiation.
Yes.
Okay. And as soon as they show up, he's like, all right, yeah, I did it. Severely decomposed. She's like,
on a scale of what's happening to
I don't want to know.
I'm afraid Girl Scouts is just a pyramid scheme for cookies.
We should have brought Newton.
No.
Oh, Newton God. And Katniss.
No, Katniss doesn't like being out of it.
Well, Newton is the sweet baby boy that can
help. Why have a burn book?
I have a poster that says burn book, but Yoda, my cat, knocked it over and stepped on it.
Oh.
And then the chair rolled over it.
So now it's all crinkled.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Well, bye, everyone. I'll hear myself later. Bye.
Bye. Wait for me.
What's the one that you did that one time? The girl that didn't know who her dad was, her parents? I can't remember her fucking name.
Yeah, Monica LeBeau.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One like that wouldn't be bad.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do a bonus with them.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.